Okay, we're back for episode 115. Joe, how you doing?
Just fine, Tim. Pleasure to be here, having a lovely and interesting discussion with you.
Yes, tonight. See, I think we'll try to make it interesting. Well, tonight we agreed to talk about gender, gender ideology, gender identity. This relatively new concept, which may not really be that new, but anyway, it's seeped into the mainstream. The political mainstream, there's laws now being proposed. There's laws at the state level protecting people of a certain gender identity, transgenderism, as they say. Well, the distinction between sex and gender, they say, differentiates a person's biological sex, his anatomy, I guess, his reproductive system, and his or her and her secondary their secondary sexual characteristics from a person's gender, which can refer to the social roles based on the sex of the person, gender role, as we say, or a personal identification of one's own gender. I guess they can identify as the opposite gender, or I mean, not just the opposite. I don't want to be accused of being, believing there's only male and female. There's multiple genders, from what I understand. nature isn't necessarily, reality isn't necessarily binary, if you imagine it, I guess you could say. But they say somehow some person's assigned sex, I guess what nature determines you are, and gender do not exactly align, and these people are called transgendered people are transgendered. So that's just, this idea that somehow someone's gender isn't necessarily their biological sex. And this is kind of like the gender tradition was used in language, Latin languages are very gender based, how you refer to someone. And some languages aren't. And so they say that apparently someone's sexual identity or gender identity can be misaligned, and you're not necessarily restricted to your gender identity isn't necessarily restricted to your physical reality, what you were born with. So that's kind of the strange world we live in. I think you and I are going to talk about this, how this isn't something that just popped up. I think this is an agenda that's being advanced, and there's a history behind this about sexual politics and who's advocating or who's promoting this sort of confusion in society, and why they may be doing it. So, Joe, what do you have to say?
Well, first, I wanted to point out that the definition you gave of the term is correct, but it is a very recent one. If you look at the internet and Wikipedia, you'll learn that gender, the word, refers to either of the two sexes, especially when considered with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. The term is used broadly to denote a range of identities that do not correspond to established ideas of male and female. And then that would be one. And then two, they have the grammatical definition, which is in Latin-based languages, you have classes, typically masculine or feminine, which are designated by differences in the word ending. So that would be one, is this idea of a range of identities, and then two, you have this historical grammar thing. Now, I have in front of me the 1955 Webster's Unabridged, giant thing, weighs about 1 million pounds, and I have what the definition was in 55 for gender, and one is grammar, and it gives, the idea of sex distinction based on word endings, and then two would be, it has simply one word, sex. So So the idea of range of identities, et cetera, was not in play in 1955, according to Webster's, but now it surely is. And I actually mentioned this as a topic because of an event that had occurred. You know, Tim, we're not just theoretical. We're in the streets, you and me, and you know, we get to actually have life experiences that sometimes come into play. And
I actually live in a bunker, so.
Well, I try to. You know, let me tell you, like here in Santa Barbara, we have a thing called Science Pub, and what happens is I might be once a month, maybe twice, sometimes in the summer. But they'll have a lecturer who will come into the pub. It's an Irish pub. I won't name it, but anyone who's in the Santa Barbara area knows about it. It's a pretty kind of common thing. And they'll bring in a lecturer. And I go normally just because I want to observe the crowd and, you know, kind of get a sense of the political currents that are swirling around. And the one that I attended last week was given by a woman. Typically these things are given by UCSB, the University of California that's near us. Their professors will come in and they'll give a lecture on some topic, and then people ask questions at the end. And this one was, the topic was dating, or not dating, but determining the sex of skeletons of antiquity found in Ireland. And this was actually the master's or PhD thesis, perhaps, of the woman who gave the subject. And so she, you know, she was a sweet, well-spoken cultural Marxist. And she started the lecture out with the idea about gender. You know, she had wanted to make sure that, you know, we understood that she was not in conflict with the politically correct understanding of gender. You know, that gender is amorphous, it's not clear what it means, but it's distinct from biological sex. And so, I mean, her lecture was about how you could actually tell the difference between the sexes, which was what her specialty was, without looking at the DNA, because the bones were different. And she was explaining how all of the different aspects of male and female. And she said that there were some cases where it was difficult to tell, but she said that basically, you know, she had created a scale where you could, you know, if like, you know, the bone was had so much radius and the length was this, you know, it was likely to be a male rather than a female. And if you could add up a whole bunch of these bones, even if you didn't know the sex of the individual through DNA, you could be very likely, she said, to be able to determine the sex. So, I mean, that was, you know, I wasn't drinking beer. I was just listening to the lecture, and it was pretty boring. But two people came in during the lecture, and this was really the fascinating part. They were big guys, big males, but they looked weird. I didn't see one that closely. I only saw him from the back, but one of them I had a really good look at, came very close to me. And his flesh was, there was just something wrong about him. He had kind of overweight, pudgy. I mean, you know, it's hard really to make any general characterizations, because I'd never seen anyone like this before. So these two guys sat down and were kind of smooching. They were, you know, very publicly, you know, like a gay couple making representation of the appropriateness of their sexuality for the crowd. And then at the end, the little anthropologist lady asked for questions, and the one guy raised his hand. And he's, because she had just given her this idea about this point scale that she was making for men and women. And he asked the question, he said, were there any transgender people on the committee that made this chart?
Okay.
And she said she's blinked and because she could see that maybe something was wrong here, and she said no, and he said, well, I'm a transit, and I really think that you want to consider having our perspective. And then he sat down. So first of all, I had never heard the term transit before. I was fascinated by that. And also the idea he was kind of putting, you could see what this whole thing was.
Would you say he's a transit authority?
I mean, a transit cultural Marxist authority. But he, so what would, the point is that he was making sure that they were, the transgender community, were given the same kind of political status that minority groups have had,
yeah,
where they demand to be on all of the committees so that their perspective, that this is appropriate and reasonable, and so you have to. And so here he was exposing this this little cultural Marxist lady as potentially transgender phobic or some other kind of criteria. So I wanted to talk to him because it was almost like street theater, the way he had come in and the way they had kind of gotten right to the front of the thing. And they had found a way to be very, very public. And I was fascinated by this guy. And I really wanted to talk to him to see if this was kind of an organized action. In other words, this didn't strike me as spontaneous. And I thought, well, maybe there is a transgender organization or a group that's supporting transgenders that is trying to get them into the public to have this kind of intimidating, we want to be in all the committees kind of perspective, that they're trying to bring this out. I just wanted to see if he would talk to me about that. But unfortunately, they disappeared during the Q&A, and I had ordered a pint of beer, and that was, I wasn't able to, even though I rarely drink at these things, I was so kind of in a strange mood after having watched this guy that I felt I should have one. But anyway, so that led me to wonder the extent that we're going to be experiencing this. See what I'm saying? I was wondering, is that really kind of, like you saw in the
There's no neutral territory in these things,
right?
Anymore.
There's no neutral territory, and you're going to have to, if you're going to be in this world, you're going to have to accept on every committee possibly these transgender. Okay, so that was the first thing, is that the question was raised, there's others, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think is an idea, and where do you come down, Tim, on the transgender and every political committee question?
I'm sorry, you broke up there, Joe. So didn't hear
that. Okay. I was just wondering. I'm sorry. I was just wondering what your position is. What do you think about this? I have my own ideas that this is an extremely bad idea. I would assume you have the same, but I was just curious as to what you thought about this, the idea. I'm positing that you're going to see this more and more. What I saw was just, drop in the bucket, and you're going to have transgenders now going to be visible everywhere, in political committees, on television, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this is a bad idea. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, the whole gender thing, the gender ideology that's being pushed now, you see that manifested in the Equality Act or a bill that was proposed earlier this year, to extend all the protections of protected classes that the civil rights laws have created since the 1960s to so-called transgendered people who suffer under this narcissistic delusion or some sort of psychological disorder or just narcissism. And a lot of these people are kind of LARPing or play acting because they know they can get attention. And then in a normal, healthy society, these people would be marginalized and ignored, at best. But under the current system, the entire media, governmental media complex will promote them and enforce their views on everyone else, nudging aside traditional morality or just a common sense or a basic normal understanding of, you know, of not only how we relate to one another, but who we are, what we are. And, you know, in order to wage this revolution, they can't allow any areas of resistance, pockets of resistance, or areas that are free from this, because it is a spiritual and ideological battle. And so there's nothing that is considered neutral. That's why everything, if you watch ESPN and you think you're watching something about sports, and they'll do a, an expose on a transgendered, individual who's, who identifies as a woman, and he's a wrestler, and he's the champion of women's wrestling in Texas. And, the vast majority of people watching this would just think, this is absolutely insane. When do they get over this? I want to hear about what's going to happen in the NBA draft. Well, no, ESPN is not excluded. And the same with schools. That's why you have Drag Queen Story Hour, although technically drag queens aren't transgendered. It's they're cousins, I guess you could say. Kissing cousins. But there's nothing that's going to be. Look at the schools. I mean, under the Equality Act, or a bill that's being proposed, medical institutions could be required to perform, transitioning surgery, hormone treatments. Parents can be forced to allow their kids or subject their kids to hormonal treatments if a professional deems that child is transgendered because something he uttered in school or something. So there's nothing, even the family isn't left alone from this things. And, entertainment's pushing it. That's why there's shows about transgendered people winning all types of awards. These things, shows always win awards, promoting this stuff. So there's nothing free from this. And so you think you can have something as sort of, as niche or as esoteric as, something that this lady was talking about, is identifying the bones of old, people living centuries ago, but which, going to the scientific method of determining which sex they are for the purposes of archaeology and history, whatever, anthropology, these two freaks are going to show up and impose their will on everybody. And in the search of being at the center of attention, of course, because at the heart of this is sort of a pathological narcissism. So nothing is sacrosanct or free from this. And you might ask yourself, why would such a small group have so much power? And the fact that this woman would feel intimidated by it, that she'd have to lend some sort of credibility to it, and so would the audience. Because the audience has sort of internalized, they want a virtue signal, show that they're tolerant, even though the vast majority of people really honestly think these people are freaks. They can't express that because it's not politically correct. They're given a stage, but how can such a small group exert so much influence or get so much attention? It's because they're being supported by the oligarchs who have an agenda in promoting this type of nonsense, this confusion. Homosexuality, transgenderism, and all the other, deviancies and delusions, all part of globalism. So it's global homo. We did a show about global homo. And, the idea is, I read an article about, kind of touching on this by, what's his name? Andrew Joyce. And talking about the sexual is political, and he was talking about how the notion of fluidity, or the fluidity in sex, in one's sex, that's suggested with gender ideology, applies to other areas in life. There's no rules or boundaries. There's no borders and countries, right? So, and he writes in the article, just as a man with a penis can claim to be a woman, someone from sub-Saharan Africa can claim to be a Scotsman. So they want this fluidity. The fluidity of capital, movement, there's no definitions, boundaries, morality, there's no moral truth. It's all what we decide. And all this isn't to promote freedom. It's actually to promote slavery, because in a society that doesn't acknowledge objective truth, physical reality, the natural and moral law, those who are in power decide what's right and wrong. And so we become, in the name of freedom, we are enslaved. So that's why this woman isn't free to give this lecture without being tainted by this crazy gender ideology politics.
Yeah, I wanted to give, first of all, well said. I agree with, you know, like particularly your idea that nothing can be left untouched. Once they begin the, you know, the process of trying to basically control sexuality, you know, and effeminize males, you know, and they're doing this, I think, deliberately, you know, because of the idea of producing easy to control beings, that nothing, you know, can be left untouched. And I just wanted to, when you talk about how it's going to lead to a slave state, I had a really good example. In Minnesota, a mother had her son who was a minor. He was maneuvered through the sex change process by county officials. And then she brought suit. This was a Minnesota mother. I won't mention her name, but it's quite well publicized. You know, the attorney said it's the parent's worst nightmare that her child, while a minor, was steered through a life-changing, permanent body-altering process, becoming a pawn in someone else's socio-political agenda, and being influenced by those who have no legal or moral right to usurp the role of a parent. Her suit has failed. It's been, I think they're going to take it to Supreme Court, but good luck there. What happened was, is that somehow the county politically correct medical agencies identified the child as someone who wanted to change sex and then basically went forward without the parents' awareness and actually performed operations and did chemical treatments to change the sex of the child into a woman. The lawsuits are were then failed. They said that even though they accepted the fact that the parent was the legal guardian and the child was a minor, they said that that the child's right, that the agency did nothing wrong. That the
wait a second.
they said that the mother's parental rights are admitted, but that the agencies really were just following basically medical protocol, and so, you know, they felt that so far it's been through three legal processes, and that they've all said the same thing, that that they did nothing wrong.
Well, how is it medical protocol to mutilate a human being and then give that human being hormonal treatments? Whose medical protocol is this?
Well, it's our nation's medical protocol, you see. And you see, this is the...
That's like saying, it's policy. Sorry. What?
Those who want to get into more detail, I think it's like LifeSite News has the July 24th article. And it's, you know, there's even things in there I don't really want to bring up here in our family-oriented show. But it's a very, very... horrible situation, because the courts, I'm sure, are being directed from above to create this extraordinary. Now they're not just, you know, controlling a child and changing the sex, but they're also redefining the rights of parents.
Yeah, they're claiming that you have a right to identify as a another gender than what your sex is, and it isn't necessarily binary. Because let's not be too conservative here. Let's not be stuffy here.
Let's not be judgmental. But you know, the thing I wanted to say is that when I read this, you could see that, of course, the hand of the oligarchs is clear now, what they're trying to do. They're going to definitely, now that the agenda has picked up so much speed and power, they're just going to ram it right through. It's going to be like integration in the 60s. I mean, you're going to see this thing really get rolling now, because they definitely want to
No, they're using the language of civil rights, which means
They are, yeah. And but they have the whole media now is you know empowered to like hunt out transgender phobic, and the legal system will start crushing you know any kind of parents that resist. And you know the thing that I saw when I was there at the Science Pub, and met the person who identified himself as a transit, is that you could see that the chemicals that he was taking were really powerful. I mean, Tim, it was just shocking to see, you know, how strange a human he had become on his way to, you know, this false womanhood that he was going to achieve through drugs and surgery. But you know, when I saw that, here was the thought I had, is that, you know, you have this single existential point where a person at a particular point says, you know, I think I'm kind of wanting to be the other sex, right? It's just a moment, you know, because they always talk about this, that I've always known I wanted to be, I was meant to be a woman. Right, you know, I was meant to be a man. This was something that's just deep inside of me this single existential note that comes through their consciousness, breaks through all the cultural, you know, mores, and ends up with this clarity inside the individual that yes, I'm a man, but I really should be a woman. Well, you know, when you think about that, and then you look at the actual process, which is an incredibly brutal. I mean, brutal process of surgery and chemicals. You have to wonder if anyone would ever like talk to such an individual and go, you know, I know you feel this way, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to like maybe give you like some testosterone or a little bit of counseling about how much fun it is to be a man. In other words, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That the normal process, which would be far less draconian, would be to try to look at this single little existential note and then see if you could like engender, to use a word, you know, the masculine spark and then bring it out. Now, this has to be considered because of their logic, which is that gender is fluid. So if gender is fluid and we've already got the kid as a male, how we just run with it and save all the surgery and all of the deforming chemicals and then just see if we can spend some time perking the kid up to see if we can make him think it'll be fun to be a male.
Well, you know, then he wouldn't be the guinea pig, right?
Well, that would be the cultural weapon, which
was the mother a single mother? In this case?
In the Minnesota case?
Yeah. No mention of a father?
There's no mention of a father, and I would almost certainly, but I don't want to, without knowing the facts, I don't want to prejudge. If the father is not mentioned, only the mother is.
Well, the fact the father hasn't killed someone yet. Because in an earlier generation, someone would be dead for doing this to his kid. You know. Hello, you break it up?
Uh-oh.
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you broke up there for
our
a couple
communication,
seconds.
Our technology is not reliable.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Usually, that indicates that, you know, the article may not for obvious reasons, but you can use, they don't really, in news stories, they don't really make that distinction anymore because single motherhood is so prevalent, nor is it considered a deficiency or a contributing factor in this kid's initial confusion, perhaps, which led to him being set upon by these ghouls in the public school system and the medical system.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think it's just, it is so preposterous because what do you think the chances are that this 16 and then 17-year-old child, because he's still a minor, was actually, you know, who is a male in every single cell in his body, Right. The DNA test would reveal immediately which is what sex is. That they tried. You see what I mean? If this was not an agenda item of the oligarchs, and they actually legitimately believe that there's fluidity of gender, right? The definitions of this this gender moving this way or that is so acceptable, then naturally you would say, and of course there's no bias, right? They're just these neutral county official. Then naturally the first thing to do would be to see if you could like recreate some interest in being a male.
Yes, which means maybe he should have, maybe he's been deficient or lacking in positive male interaction, role models, or maybe his only male interaction has been sexualized. He's a sexual abuse victim. That's where a lot of these people come from over initially. That's the source of their confusion. And what this really betrays, though, it really is the malevolence of the psychiatric establishment, and also the medical establishment, because if it wasn't malevolent, these people would be charged with malpractice and also on criminal charges, but they're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's such a good point. I mean, the fact is that the medical practice has been, the Hippocratic Oath has been breached.
Yeah, where's the APA, where's the AMA on this, if they're out there upholding standards?
Because you know, when you're looking at how profound the surgery and chemical reactions in the bodies are going to be, and you're saying, well, he wanted to be a girl, so.
That's just absolutely on its face insane. I know they've been doing this since the 60s. I think the first guy who did this was in Weimar Germany. A guy Hirschfield.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. And it was one of the first buildings that the Nazis burned down. He seized power, you know. But he was pushing this crap, this nonsense. But the whole point on an objective standpoint, that is at the very least highly speculative to say, well, you must want to be a girl. You cannot turn him into a girl. All you can do is poison him and mutilate him and pretend that you've turned him into a girl. He is not a girl. He's objectively not a girl. His chromosomes are male. This is so obviously insane and criminal. And the fact that there's no charges being brought, the fact that the entire political structure, the officialdom bureaucracy is backing, the judicial system is anyway supporting or backing these ghouls, it just tells you how malevolent the system is. And I don't see how any person who thinks, that we live in a normal society, that things function as advertised, can any longer believe in that when they see something like this. The only thing they can do is ignore it and pretend that it isn't happening.
Yeah, that's why I really wanted to talk to this guy. I really wanted to set up a dialogue to talk to him or her. He's a transit. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to learn about the support system that had brought him to this state. And I wanted to learn about, who he first had counseling with, what he was told, because he's very open and proud. I mean, I wouldn't be prying into someone's life who doesn't want to, make testimony. But in this case, he just had the impression of someone who's very bold and wanting, and cocky. I'm really representing the future. I'm the what's solid in terms of, moral structure. So listen to me. So fine, if you want to be a public person, then let's have public dialogue. Because I really wanted him to let us know how it was that, 25-year-old, 6'3", 220-pound male was given advice that his inclination toward being a woman was a good idea. I mean, did anyone ever say, this is just a bad idea? And that, trust me, sex is very fluid. Mm-hmm. It is literally what we believe. It is our first commandment. There is fluidity in sex. However, if there is fluidity, then we can move it in another direction, right? And the matter of fact, walking down the path to become a woman is really painful. And it's going to wreck your body in ways that are just, it's just a theoretical condition. I mean, can you imagine doing tests on people who've been through the transgender process to determine what effects have lasting effects that are negative have occurred? You know, I mean, you and I both know why the oligarchs push this, and that's really, you know, what is coming down, and then the minions are then, you know, like helping, assisting, promoting these ideas and getting people like this young man to move.
Yeah, there's various commissars and
The fact proxy is,
troops. Yeah,
yeah. The fact is that, you know, if they believe in fluidity, it would be great to know what was actually told to this kid to move him down the path. Where did it? Because I think we need to try to have a little bit more sunlight now on this process. Because if I'm right, we're going to see a lot more transits over the next 12 months, Tim. They're going to be popping up everywhere.
Yeah, you know, your Boy Scouts.
Yeah. And so since that is the case, and since they're going to have this, you know, bully pulpit to transform our society, I think we need to put some sunlight on exactly how it was that this guy and all the other ones that are going to be coming forward end up in this condition, right? Because it would be fascinating to know, well, you know, is there any science at all that they even can cite in terms of the effects of these operations, the sanity that results at the end of the process? You know, what are these people like in terms of their emotion? In other words, is it at the level that it is, you know, interacting with this young man? Is it just self-indulgence? They're just saying, you want to be a woman? Okay, great. Here, we've got the whole, it's all set up. Just go walk ahead and go and just do
it. Well, I mean, there is a psychological disorder where people want to have their parts of their bodies amputated.
Sure.
And if there was a doctor out there willing to amputate, you know, remove that limb to satisfy the, you know, to indulge the patient, if you will, the person suffering from this disorder, they'd lose their license.
You know. Yeah,
but you can do this to them. You can mutilate their sexual organs and subject them to, you know, cancer. Ultimately, carcinogenic hormonal treatments. You know,
if you look at and I spent some time and I, as I said, there I just found so, you know, brutal and unsettling. I don't want to go into any of it, but the actual operations that are done to transform a woman into a man or a man into a woman. I mean, they're the most invasive operations imaginable. The most, and you see the scars and the, and you know, like, well, what does that do? What does the process achieve? You indulge that single existential note, using an expression, right? That I just feel like I want to be a woman. I've always had a feeling I want to be a woman. Well, have you ever sat down and thought maybe this is a bad idea, right? It's just a bad idea.
Well, all this stems from the normalization of homosexuality in the since the 1970s, because then what happened was you had the collapse. Part of the sexual revolution, where you've had the sort of the collapse of sexual morality, and even the language that we use. You know, where, you know, new sins have been created. The sin today is now sexism or transphobism or, you know, homophobia, and no longer is fornication a sin. And so the proper understanding of the sex act and the relations between men and women and the sexes, you know, the sexual revolution destroyed if it's all about pleasure. And this is what Herbert Marcuse was into pushing. So you collapse that idea. And once you collapse that idea, once you separate, you know, sex from procreation, this is the natural outcome, the logical, you know, the reductio ad absurdum of this type of thinking. You had, in the name of gender, you know, I guess you've had various laws proposed, you know, gender non-discrimination act, basically laws that would protect people from being discriminated against for having non-conforming gender identity, meaning basically if there's a student who identifies as a girl, he's a boy, or vice versa, he's going to give him special protection. And of course, part of the special protection would be promoting sensitivity and understanding in schools, basically sexuality education in younger and younger age students. And so this type of social engineering, this type of indoctrination, this type of corruption, you know, promoting this perversion in younger and younger kids is seen as legitimate policy. But if you, after, you know, a decade or so of having this, these types of policies in place, not to mention the fact the effects of the sexual revolution, the effect that it had on family, the increase in the rate of child abuse that arose from that, you're going to have more of these people that are confused, that are vulnerable, that can be set upon by these ghouls. In the medical establishment or in the psychiatric institutes, they can experiment with them and do the bidding of the oligarchs. But always by the fact that the vast majority, the majority of Americans, in fear of being accused of being homophobic or intolerant, can no longer, they don't want to voice their opposition to this. The fact they don't have the language to voice an opposition to it because the other side has invoked the language of civil rights. And if you oppose this, you're the equivalent of a Bull Connor, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they've just gotten into our grammar so far that people just are befuddled, you know? I mean, there wasn't one single person that actually engaged this guy. I would have, but not publicly, because I didn't really think it would have. You know, obviously, you don't want to have an argument because you don't really, you know, it's you have no idea how to control, you know, the effects.
40 years ago, no one would waste their time having an argument,
right,
with a transvestite. They'd have him arrested.
What I'm saying is that it's really important to demand some sunlight. And what we need is, first of all, we need to look at someone, a male, who wants to be female or vice versa, and try to look at their biological health. Mm-hmm. Because here we are with 60% reduction in sperm count in males over the last 40 years. And of course, there's been an enormous increase in the amount of estrogen mimicking plastics inside our body, right? Yes. So then on top of that, you've got damaged biomes because with glyphosate mm-hmm. and all of the chemicals in the food. So the first thing, if someone says, you know, I have an idea, I've had it for a long time, I want to change my sex from a male to a female, the first thing should be, well, okay, let us look at your biology to see if there are some easy to fix things which will give you a different perspective. And don't worry, sex is fluid, right? And you now see yourself as a woman, but let us look at your testosterone level and let's see if we can, if you have a normal sperm count, if you have healthy blood chemistry, and if you are given a little bit of encouragement in terms of, well, maybe it's fun to be, you know, a boy. Let us see if this idea continues.
Yeah, because the masculine activities will produce testosterone.
Of course.
What's your lifestyle like? What do you eat? A lot of processed foods. Well, you know, there's a lot of estrogen mimickers in that food. Or when's the last time you had a home cooked meal? Oh, you never have home cooked meals because you're not married. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. When's the last time you worked out? Lift weights. Or if you lift weights, your body will produce testosterone. You feel better. But none of these ghouls prescribe a regiment like that.
If you look what happened in Minnesota with the 17-year-old 16 and then 17-year-old kid, he was ramrodded through the system.
Yeah.
No sunlight. The mother finds out after the fact. Kind of must have been a pretty shocking moment. But this I think will be kind of what we're going to be facing in the future.
And this is also how they exploit a weakened family, because an intact, healthy family, simply, they wouldn't have had access to the child. There would have been more attention given to this child. You know, this is something that was foreseen when they unveiled this agenda in the 60s with the Jaffe Amendment, the Planned Parenthood meeting, that this is all part of that plan where if you promote sexual degenerate behavior, you unleash just a whole, you know, list of horrors down the road with this.
Yeah. You know. And, you know, it's kind of sad because here's a woman who's doing the right thing after the fact. Everything's very public and and consistent attempt to find some legal recourse, which will help probably slow it down in the future. And she's failing at every turn. But I'm afraid that you're right, that what would be exposed if we went into the personal situation here, and even if it isn't the case here, it'll be the case in many, many other instances, is that the family has damaged. And it is a single mom, and there isn't any attention being given the kid, and there is basically the state has stepped in to raise the kid, did a great job. And, of course, there is no attention through the family structure of the health of the child. Mm-hmm. And so this goes back to a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in the past where, you know, there are different forms of revolution, but none of them is easier and more important than your own health and the health of your children and your family. And so when you think of a child like this who has this idea that, I want to change sexes, well, that is probably to some extent reflecting just poor health structure around this individual. And so the one thing that we really have to look at is getting proper nutrition and avoiding, you know, the things that are the most destructive. I was talking, did this one interview, and I was saying, you know, a guy was saying, well, what can you do? And I was saying, look, go to secondhand stores and make sure that everything you wear or any furniture is wood or cotton. Mm-hmm. There are things you can do. You don't have to buy, a toxic fire retardant, you know, plastic clothes for your 2-year-old that cost an arm and a leg and just immediately start, you know, working there. The toxicity starts working through the skin. You have to just know you're living in a culture that has been weaponized, every little thing. You know, you mentioned how they can't let, you know, any, not even a single aspect of health exist. Because for one thing, Tim, it'll actually show off how absurd and how malevolent, you know, the activity is. And as an example of that is, you know, why they are so desperate to get rid of every single unvaccinated child.
Yeah.
Right. Well, why does pharma care about the last 0.1%? It's because of the testimony that that this group would give to the effect that the whole system is designed to damage the kids biologically. You see, this is why they have to get why the malevolence, once it begins, has to get everywhere. That's why they have to get rid of all the unvaccinated children, because they don't want examples of health to show the malevolence of what they're trying to do. And that's why, as sure as I was sitting there at the science pub staring at this strange and tragic individual, man, he's a harbinger, Tim. I'm telling you, I felt he had training, and I know that, I mean, this is my, you know, I'm conjecturing here, but I think that there was training involved. I think that the whole program that he has been subjected to has a kind of technical organization that's, you know, that is something that is going to be designed to basically get rid of masculine type males.
Well, it's obviously there's an agenda afoot, because at the same time they unveiled all of a sudden, you know, it was 10 years ago that this term transgendered, you know, was put into the lexicon, into the language. Bruce Jenner's transition is splashed all over, you know, the internet and television, and TV shows start making that the basis of, you know, of the story of their shows, you know, writing these characters into TV shows. So this top down push. So how can it be anything but an agenda? I mean, do you think this is all just spontaneous?
Yeah.
Taking the odd story of Bruce Jenner, no one ever even thought of him since the 1970s, and all of a sudden he slipped into this Kardashian thing, and then he transitions, and then it's celebrated. He wins, you know, awards for it, and we're supposed to celebrate this, you know.
Courage.
Courage, yeah.
Yeah, courage, right. And so You know, all of this is all sophistry. It should be pretty easy for the public to see it if there is enough people that are talking about it, about the whole thing as a organized, you know, culturally destructive movement that the oligarchs are trying to hoist on us. Because, you know, the fact is that, well, if courage is really, you know, something that we're honoring, well, did he have the courage to try to find ways to be a male? Isn't that courage too? I mean, you know, so that's the logic of their position is, you know, really weak, easy to puncture, and hopefully the public will start to recognize that this is going to be a very serious, you know, public health crisis that is going to be on us very quickly, because I think you're going to, you know, this agenda is going to be pushed in the public schools.
Well, that's because if you give it any legitimacy at all, any legitimacy, any consideration, they just go head on and they take over everything. And that's what you're seeing in the schools. And that's what Drag Queen Story Hour is about. And that's what they're actually teaching, sexuality education, not sex education, which is problematic in and of itself, especially given the type of people who are teaching it, who presume the right to teach these things to your kids. That's sexuality education to these kids. And this is, again, introducing all this confusion, all this nonsense into the heads of these impressionable young students who don't know anything because they haven't been taught anything, not being taught anything other than indoctrination. It's a crime. And this is all done in the name of tolerance. We did a show on tolerance. And the thing is, you cannot tolerate this one bit, because if you do, if you give them an inch, they take a mile, and they have. And they're going after your children. They're poisoning your children. They're killing your children. And this is the entire system supports this. And that is shown by that case in Minnesota, because the judicial system, the medical system, the school system is dedicated through ruining this child's life to make a point, to drive a political agenda, you know. Yeah. And how can it not be a conspiracy? In fact, maybe it's not a conspiracy because it's not even secret anymore. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, but it's a technologic process.
Yeah. I mean,
they're basically using the powers of propaganda to completely transform this normal understanding of sexuality, which of course is reflected in the language going back to, you know, like Neanderthal era, because the distinction between the sexes is literally built into the language that we created. All of these languages have a very clear delineation.
Well, I know what you're pointing out. You're pointing out the hypocrisy. Is that if it is fluid, obviously the easier path would be encouraged to masculinity, because that's what your anatomy is, and that's what's natural, and if you have your best interests at heart. So let's look at the deficiencies. The only problem to acknowledge these deficiencies, you have to acknowledge the complementary yet distinct role of male-female, and all this goes against the reigning ideology. There was a recent case in Boston where this group called Super Happy Fun America planned a straight pride parade in reaction to the city's rejection of the group's application for it to raise a straight pride flag at Boston City's Hall earlier. You know, this whole idea of straight pride, obviously they're making fun of gay pride.
Sure.
And this group had a statement that said, "We have decided to launch a campaign to educate the public, politicians, and civil servants about the straight community and the unique problem we face. We have determined that a parade would be the best way to promote our community and its diverse history, culture, and identity. We anticipate that the city will eventually choose to embrace tolerance and inclusivity." Obviously, he's poking fun at, you know, leftist tropes, right? Catchphrases and these things.
Sure.
But the reaction was telling, because Happy Fun America was criticized for being anti-Semitic and intolerant.
Anti-Semitic.
The city's Jewish newspaper warned the covert anti-Semitism of state pride. Astonishing newspaper. Many of the newspapers warned that state pride organizers had links to alt-right, anti-Marxist groups, and were racist and anti-Semites.
Well, yeah.
See, I mean, so it doesn't apply, obviously, because, you know, you don't, I need to state, because basically this is normal. So we don't need these stupid parades, right? Because this is normal. Heterosexual sex is normal. It's procreative. It's basically what we all rely upon to generate future generations. But here we go. Here's Andrew. I'm reading from an article from Andrew Joyce. He wrote, but basically what you have here is fluidity and sterility. They want to promote the fluidity idea because they want to make do away with all boundaries, all rules, borders, you know, be they sexual or even geopolitical, for the purposes of capital. And you know, be able to promote global homogeneity and also perversion, because that's how you enslave the masses through sexual degenerative behavior. But also sterility, and it's admitted that that homosexuality is a great way to address the population problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, remember that, so really where this all goes is where the state controls production of the human or the subhuman. The feedlot human. The state wants to create the individual and then have the education of the individual. These will be the humans that will be permitted. There will be...
It's Brave New World.
Brave New World. They will be chemically and genetically modified for precise, activities. And this will, of course, be complete replacement of heterosexual family structure, because that, if you look at Brave New World, you can just see that's, you know, it's gone, doesn't exist. Huxley's book is a way to help normalize. It was way back when in the 1920s,
yeah,
trying to normalize these concepts so people could, you know, basically start to realize where the oligarchs, you know, are will take us and accept this process. Because the thing is, if we took the argument to the public that we want to promote a period of intervention to people who want to do sex change based on fluidity of sex and also of the massive physical destruction that has to take place in order for this wish to be granted, that, in other words, that we're really trying our best to look out for this human being, right? That if we can actually get a male to think that, hey, you know, I've kind of found...
I'm sorry, Jay, you broke up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're clear now. So you broke up for about 4 seconds.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I was just saying that if we took that position of we really want to have an intervention, that you can imagine that people would how they would attack us, right? They would say, well, this is homophobic.
In California, you have that therapy. What's that therapy? Not transformative therapy. Reparative therapy.
Yeah.
And it tries to deal with homosexuality from a psychosexual standpoint, obviously, but from a standpoint of looking at the deficiencies, and by introducing positive non-sexual male influences in people's lives, they claim to reverse that effect because it's, I guess, the psychological scarring that brought about the homosexuality. That's outlawed in California. Now, I guess you got to go to Nevada, like, to gamble and to be repaired. Yeah. But, yeah, but the fact that they'd have to outlaw it suggests that it has some.
But isn't it amazing, Tim, that if we tried to advocate this, if we said, look, you know, your idea, your single note inside your mind about your sexuality, that you maybe you want to transition to a woman, mm-hmm. maybe this is just an idea that comes from a lack of biological health. Maybe it's just a bad idea that got into your head because of a corrupt media that you were exposed to as a child, right? Yeah. There's all these possibilities. And it sure is a brutal process to do the transformation. So you know what? How about let's just try to see if we can increase your biological health, raise your testosterone level, and have some promotion, not something that is negative toward a particular group, but simply promotes the idea of that it is fun and there's some positive aspects to being the sex that you were born, and then let's see if this idea continues. Because that's very easy to do and doable, whereas the operations and the chemicals are very difficult, and they're very, very destructive.
Well, that all that would be an admirable and I think an ultimate effective way to deal with some of these pathologies or dysfunctions. But the reality is the system is against it. The system is promoting homosexuality. You know, the U.S. government boasted last month that it got Botswana to decriminalize homosexuality. That's on its agenda, is spreading sodomy abroad. You know, wherever the American flag is unfurled, there's sodomy and pornography, and that's something to be proud of, isn't it? That's why, you know, the White House is draped in a rainbow flag, for Pete's sake. The Supreme Court manufacturing or confecting legal decisions to legitimize this stuff, to overturn 20-25 state laws. So the hell of the will of the people when it comes to homosexuality, it's the will of the oligarchs.
That's right. And it's just that we have to find a way to get the public to realize that this is the will of the oligarchs. Mm-hmm. That this is a step toward enslavement. They give them this idea that, look, it's going to be a more tolerant society. For heaven's sakes, let us review who is in back of these things. Let's try to do some research to try to determine if this is in fact an example of weaponized, propaganda that's coming at the public. There is never any, the critics of it are characterized as being, it comes from a bad place in the heart.
It's everywhere. It's so pervasive. The agenda here is to make everyone think like a homosexual, not act like a homosexual, but behave like a homosexual, meaning assume the sexual patterns of a homosexual, meaning having sterile, meaningless sexual experience, no family. You don't have to be a homosexual for it. There's plenty of sterile heterosexual relationships, especially with birth control and these things. But so many straight, normal people, which still comprise the vast majority of the population, in the interest of virtue signaling, will confess tolerance and respect for homosexuals. Because they've been indoctrinated. I was at a family gathering, and a niece, expressed that she thinks homosexuals are great. She's not a lesbian. She just, they're great. Well, why are they great? She says, well, because she's been taught to think they're great. A lot of this is that we have a sanitized idea of how they live and their lifestyle and what they really do. No one wants to talk about what they do, by the way, and the effects and the problems it creates. But they're just great because she's been taught in her college that they're great. it's a vacuous, stupid statement, but she just parrots it, and but the fact that she says that means that she's embraced a cultural Marxist idea towards sexuality.
I think that they'll probably be promoting homosexual unions, this will be given to the public as something that's positive and coming about because there's less destructive, homophobic, pressure exerted on these people, and that the nightclub activity, the bathhouse activity of the 70s, where when the AIDS epidemic occurred and they did the statistical studies and they found the median sex partners per year was like 300, right? And in the extremes would be like 800. I mean, it's just this kind of really, all you can say is degenerate sort of activity, that was, they'll have some excuse for it. I think they're going to sanitize it as they want to bring it forward. But, Tim, you have to, no matter how they bring it forward, the transgender agenda, we just have to keep asking, why are they doing it? What is in back of them? You see, they're going to try to say, well, no, there's something, the people that are in opposition have something in back of them. They have a homophobic agenda. But where is the sunlight that is, being shown on the people who are promoting it? Where is that sunlight? If they want to say, well, Tim and Joe, this is coming from a bad place in the heart. Okay, I'm perfectly prepared to have a review. But, you know, we also have to look at you, the people who are promoting this agenda, because I think, you know, in many cases, particularly as you get down to the minion level, you're going to find zealots and basically just legitimately crazy people, yeah, right? But if you go up the chain of authority, it won't be very long before you find malevolence, before you find people who have agendas that are transparent.
Well, I mean, like I said, we got that from the Jaffe member from the Planned Parenthood 1969 meeting in Pennsylvania, promoting sexual degenerate behavior, family breakup to destabilize the family, so you would have a more vulnerable population that would produce more homosexuals, more sexual dysfunction. That's what their objective was, ultimate for population reduction. You also got that in the 80s under the auspices of AIDS education, when the U.S. Public Health Service, U.S. Department of Education, the Russell Sage Foundation, and they admitted in their documents that the purpose of AIDS education, the more graphic sexual sex education program that was implemented supposedly in response to the AIDS crisis, the HIV virus was going to get your kid, wasn't a public health matter or initiative. It was there to change the sexual mores of the students and introduce a program that parents otherwise would reject because they could scare them with AIDS. So there, you know, the malevolence has been exposed, and these institutions, if not the people, the institutions are still in power, and they, if anything, they've accelerated and stepped it up, and it's become more normalized. To the extent that we don't acknowledge it or recognize it, just shows just how far gone society is in the past 35 years.
Well, yeah, that's, I couldn't agree more, but I would also note that there are finally ideas being circulated in opposition to it because of what's, you know, is called the alt media. Mm-hmm. There are
the fifth estate.
Yeah, the fifth estate. It's people like us, these little tiny shows, which hopefully, you know, will just flourish and thousands more will be engendered.
And people like Judith Reisman, to her credit, exposing Kinsey. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there has been some sanity that has tried that saw the explanations as false, but there hasn't really been any exposing of the malevolent plan by the oligarchs that these culturally destructive events fit into.
Yeah, there's far too much trust. It might just be acquiescence and inertia in these institutions, like the public school systems, right?
Yeah.
Which is the main vector how you get to these kids. I bet you this kid you mentioned in Minnesota was first, they got their meat hooks into him in the public school system.
I'll bet you, I don't have the data, but I'm willing to bet that that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, I'm hoping that there can be some resistance because if we finally have the ideas are getting out that there is malevolence, that this just isn't, you know, a homosexual group that got together, the Mattachine Society, mm-hmm. and wanted so much to have, you know, homosexuals come out of the closet. I mean, this is...
there's UN resolutions supporting gender ideology.
I mean, it's everywhere. But my point is that it all goes back to the malevolence of the oligarchs.
Yeah.
And that this is a designed plan to help destroy... particular ethnicities. And so there are now people bringing up this fact. We have the stronger arguments. I mean, all you have to do is look at the idea that they're not trying to get these people to become biologically healthy to see if that would maybe change their mind concerning the sex change business. Mm-hmm. Instead, they just ramrod the process through as fast as they can, even to the extent of like ignoring children's parents, right? So they are exposed as not operating with the idea of trying to benefit the world in any way. I mean, I think that there should be enough, data now that you can start to go up the chain of authority a little bit and say, wait a second, this is all a really malevolent agenda. And like the people, like the young man that I didn't get a chance to talk to in the pub who called himself a transit, I mean, they are victims. And if you try to approach him with this fact, he would respond. I mean, think how his mind has been structured, right? He would respond perhaps violently, you know, yeah. because he couldn't possibly have that idea as something that just, you know, would operate in his mind logically. He would try to find something about me as that was driving such, you know, evil toward him. But he's an extreme case. I think a normal person, someone who hasn't gone through this process, would be open to it. You know, will be open to the idea. Well, wait a second. You know, where was the? I mean, I would think a normal person would see that you're actually trying to protect this young man. You know what I mean? In other words, you're not coming there from a bad place of the heart. You're really the one who's trying to operate as his advocate, as that human male's advocate. And so, you know, since we have both reason and righteousness on our side, Tim, you know, we should take this show on the road and get people to start, you know, thinking about and talking about this stuff.
Yeah. And just again, acknowledging that the system is malevolent. And if you doubt that, you know, I think it was in Tacoma where there's a protest in response to a drag queen story hour at a local library. Maybe it was Spokane, Washington, and the local SWAT team was brought out to defend the drag queens. So that's
there it is.
so you know, definitely we're not in Kansas anymore. So
if you know
that, just look around you. So okay, Joe, I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think we do, Tim. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Okay, enjoy the weekend.
Bye bye.
Bye. Thank you.